All right, it is 11:32 and we're back in session. Bringing us to item number 15, which is, item number 14. Discussion for possible action, discussion, public workshop, and public direction to staff on formulating the future board action for the fiscal year 2022 to 2028. Story County Capital Improvement Plan, CIP, including facilities and infrastructure plans, studies, and equipment and vehicles. A final CIP draft will be considered for approval by the board at a later meeting. County Manager.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. So I just want to remind us, this is a non-action item. There's no recommendation by staff at this time other than to comment on this, to get public comment on it, and feel out where we're going as far as capital improvements. It's been a team effort. Myself, our department heads, and all of us have been working on this and coming up with every possible thing over the last year and a half or so that we could think of that the county might need. And there's some things in there that you would say, do we really need that? Well, maybe that's why that isn't one of the priority items, or whatever items you see in there. But we came up with basically a wish list, everything we could think of. And then we started working that wish list down to more of a reality list. And the reality list are the things that you see in these attached that have in the columns dates attached to them or years and money attached to them. When you start going down that list and you find that those columns are empty, that area is pretty much the wish list or the beyond 2028 period list. 2028 is the recommended year in this case, because usually your five-year, six-year CIP. I imagine that we may spill over just a little bit into 2022 before this becomes a final board approved document, hopefully. So it'd be about a 5 or 6 year CIP, however, a different way you look at it. So this list here has all of our infrastructure items. It has vehicles and equipment. It has plans and studies. And then it also has some things that really are not part of the capital improvement plan for the county, but they're important to just know what's going on with our neighboring jurisdictions, like the school district, our 501c3s, like Fourth Ward School, St. Mary's Arts Center, you name it. You kind of see where they are because there's a little bit of blending that goes on. For example, maybe putting in a few covered bus stops for the school district would be something that would have to be discussed with the school district, but something that's included here in the wish list area. It's not quite in the CIP area. But it could be changed with this board says, no, we want to do this in the Highlands and we want to do it earlier, whatever we want to do. But a lot of these items that you see in the wish list that are in the 501c3 territory, Laura Mather would work with those folks on working their needs into the annual budget process. But they're listed in here just so the board and the public knows all of the needs going on across county, its facilities, and et cetera. So really, at this point, this document has been published. The public has been aware of it. And I'm open to any discussion that you have, the public has on where this list is. Is it good? Is it bad? Do you want to move some stuff from the bottom to the top? Do you want to change the years? Do you want to look at whatever? And then ultimately, when the board approves the list, then we would start working with the comptroller's office to integrate the capital improvement plan into the next budget and then start budgeting it for the next six-year period. And then I do just want to make one note in here. Chief Loncar will talk about similar things when we get to the fire district. You will notice that there are fire stations at 75 or at Tri-Center that are in the fire district CIP. In reality, they're probably going to end up in the capital improvement plan for Story County, as the county is the owner of the buildings. But there is some discussion that the fire chief and I are having with the comptroller on where the future of that is. But at this point, probably we'll see about $3.5 million go from the fire CIP over to the document we're looking at right now.
All right.
That's all I ask. No, thank you.
All right. I know we're not going to vote on this, but I will reach out to the public. Is there any public comment regarding item number 14 and the CIP? As a reminder, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature. Not seeing anything. Commissioner Gilman?
Just a comment is, I believe that the staff has done it, and all the departments have done a wonderful job in creating this. I think all of us would be hard pressed to embellish what's already here and all the work that's been done. But I'd also offer that, in my opinion, in order to enjoy the fiscal responsibility that we're all looking forward to, and managing our own destiny rather than having others around us help us manage that destiny, I believe this CIP creation is probably one of the top two or three elements that we're all going to be looking at in the next year. So, Austin, thank you for the team and the department and all of that. And I think a great job and very, very important for Story County.
Great. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, I would like to echo the sentiment. You know, one of the main reasons that I'm here is that I would like to see us, as we go forward, be more and more proactive. And so we're looking out a little further and getting these kind of things in place. So I fully support the efforts here. I had just one question, and I was looking down through in the 4 to 6 year section. I saw a line item for a TRI payback that was attributed to year 20 for the 2024 year in the amount of $4 million. And I was wondering if that was intentional and additional payment or a duplication, because I believe that there were line items for that for 23, 24, and 25 in the 1 to 3 year as well. So just maybe looking for some clarification on if that's an anticipated surplus, an additional payment, or just a duplication.
Thank you, Commissioner Mitchell. To respond in that, I'll take a look, and maybe it was just a duplicate. So if there's more than one TRI payback occurring 1 year, it's a duplicate. Otherwise, I would defer to our comptroller if she'd like to chime in on kind of how those TRI paybacks are lined out and why they're in the capital improvement plan.
This is Jennifer McKinnon, Story County Comptroller, for the record. I did catch that reviewing this final list that, yes, I believe the $4 million payment should actually be in the year 2025. We don't anticipate in 2024 having that abundance of cash to be able to make a double payment. It does gradually go up each year according to a specific calculation that is made. So these are ballpark figures that you're looking at, and will be more streamlined as each budget comes about.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions for my fellow commissioners? No?
No, just a comment that I'm looking forward to the covered pool so my kids and I don't burn quite so much.
Right. So am I. That's
on my wish list.
Oh, you put that on there?
No, not my suggestion.
I don't have any questions per se. I've looked this over quite a bit, and I do want to echo what my fellow commissioners have said. I really got to take my hat off to staff for the work and effort that's been put into this thing. I mean, it's a pretty hefty list. I think we've covered a lot of stuff. I mean, Lord knows that Story County has been struggling for a long time trying to keep things going. I think we've done a fantastic job, and you know, for the many years that we have had the industrial park out there, things are turning and moving along beautifully now, and we're going to hopefully start to see some of that come in, and we'll be able to take care of a lot of these things that have been put by the wayside for financial reasons and other reasons. And you know, I don't see anything that jumps out at this plan right now that really shouldn't be tackled. I just want to compliment everybody again for their work on this, and I'd say move forward. I know we're not making a motion on this, but I think we're good.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a request of staff in regards to this?
Yeah.
You may already be planning to do this, but if we could have copies of this at the workshop on Thursday, and maybe at least one copy that's printed a bit bigger for those who might have trouble following all this.
It is small.
Maybe just, for a poster or something, so, you know, people can browse it.
We do have an hour, right? at that town hall.
Now, let's take a look at it afterward while there's bingo going on.
There you go.
I do, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind. There is a roads CIP that's very comprehensive on every oil chip seal, crack seal, these very minute things that this board has already approved and Jennifer's already put into the existing CIP. Those are not listed out in this just for the sake of saving paper. But I would be happy in the next workshop, maybe even during the Thursday's town hall, to add that as well. So people are wondering, hey, how come my road's not on there for 26? That's why.
Great. Yeah, to have that at least available for reference.
Okay.
That'll be great.
Indeed. All right. Not seeing any public comment, and with no more questions or comments from my fellow commissioners. Again, thank you, County Manager and staff. We will move on to item number 15, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District, bringing us to item number 16, which is for discussion and possible action. Discussion, public workshop, and possible direction to staff on formulating for future board action fiscal year 2022 to 2028, Story County Fire Protection or Story County District Capital Plan, CIP, including facilities and infrastructure plans and studies, and equipment and vehicles. Final CIP draft will be considered for approval by the Fire Board at a later meeting. Longcar.
Thank you again, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. I'm going to share my screen real quick, and if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least trying here. So I'm taking just a slightly different approach. As you know, this first year moving into this new position was quite hectic, and gathering this information, I want to overemphasize that the draft which you were presented in the packet is just that. It is a draft. This is a living, working, breathing document that is constantly changing. And I'm happy to be here in front of you today and say, we've already pulled $404,000 off of it through just our due diligence and our financial responsibilities. So you'll see items like a new patrol for Station 72. That has been secured through grant funding. There's $220,000 that is off our list and not on the backs of the taxpayers within Story County. There's plenty others. So it's being creative, but getting this and composing this document, I've spent a lot of time on it because it is important. And my view on this has always been needs, wants, and wishes, right? You will notice in there that the needs I've outlined and left in black. The wants and the wishes are what's going to happen in the future? How's it going to change? What's going to happen to my budget? Obviously, that drives a lot of what we do. And it's an easy fallback for us too. What can we afford? And I was you as commissioners, as stewards of this money, this is a big topic item. So I'm not going to congest a bunch of your time, but I'd be remiss not to take this time to ring a bell or two and show you how we've gotten to where our needs are and what we look forward to doing as far as financing these needs so that we can stay away from this, stay away from diving into that district budget. So I did a little math here, learned some new things. Jennifer would probably be pretty proud, and I'm eager to see if this pans out. But I am digging in deeper data. Now, don't worry about what's on your screen right now, because this will be in your final document. We're going to give you an abundance of information and show you how we come up with these things. But pulling some of our historical data from our budgets, I am able to forecast out a little bit and see where we're sitting and see if it matches our needs with inflation rates, which right now they're going through the roof. Inflation is running wild and all our budgets are going to take a hit. So we need to be cognizant of these things. So looking at this, it's pretty much that lower confidence bound, you know, the bottom line that I would kind of rely on. But we'll see how the budget plays out and see what the numbers Jennifer gives me when it comes that time. But looking at some of the other funding, over the course of the last 2 years, we've been very fortunate we do a lot of grant work in-house. We do a lot of grant work with Laura, which we're very appreciative of. We've secured $4 million in funding for the fire district. Now, that is projected out over time through some of our programs, but needless to say, that helps us. Grant funding's a great opportunity. So where are we going to get the rest of these funds to support all the things that are in our needs? We'll get to the wants and wishes later. USDA small interest loans, we're not stranger to those. We've done them. Just today, there's items on developer agreements in which some of the shared concerns that we have, myself and Commissioner or County Manager Austin Osborne, was fire stations. Is there existing plans that were set up? If they are, what are the details? How do we fund the rest? When do we need them? These are truly needs based. And as TRI grows exponentially like it is, it's booming. This is great for our county, but it also puts extra stressors on the services we provide, and we need to prepare for that. So just running through some of the funding that we want to kind of outline, give some sort of assurance that we're going to be creative and we're going to look and we're going to find ways to fund these. And obviously the big last one here is the abatement expirations. As those come up, that's when we get to take some of those wants and wishes out of there and go, okay, hey, we would really like this now. And we can move those up. Again, very living and breathing document. So coming through here, I'm just going to hit on four major things that are within my capital improvement plan. And it is, as you can see, it's not just a capital improvement plan. I also attach an operational improvement plan, because with a new station comes new expenses through personnel. They go hand in hand. So we need to make sure we address all the financial responsibilities in this growth. So in looking at this, I got this position. I looked at existing CIP. I had my own views of what our true needs are, where we need to go. And as well, I put out a survey to my staff saying, where do you think we need to go? How are we doing? What's our priorities? I'm narrowed down to four. I'll make this really brief for you today, because you'll get this all again in a very nice, pretty package. Is one, look at our brush engines. We have four of these out there, built in 2002. These are our hardest worked piece of equipment we own. These can be gone for months. Well, right now, they're 2002. This is a great run. The previous fire chiefs that bought these and put these in place did a great thing for the district. We've gotten our money out of them. But now it's come that time, we got to put forth a replacement plan. So that's a need, right? We institute the need. Our water tenders, same thing. We're running one, it's 1981, but if I step good and hard, I'm gonna be like Fred Flintstone, my foot's going through the floorboard. So we're working with the shop, trying to bolt down old signs just to keep our feet from going through the floorboard. Again, things that we just haven't, they haven't showed up on some of our old CIPs, but it's taking that fresh look and go, what do we need? This one's a big one right here, Station 71. When this was built in the 60s, it wasn't designed to house full-time firefighters. We just keep adding on and changing and adapting. So much so that we outgrew this years ago. Two chiefs ago, Chief Haynes also knew of this and presented some ideas and some issues as well. So again, this is something you'll see on the plan that has a need. Our ladder truck, it's 1982. It's great. I love it. When I'm riding on that ladder truck, it feels like you just stepped off the scene of Backdraft. You know, it's very classic and it's great, but it's also very old. The pumps run down. We have some mechanical issues. It's costing more money and it doesn't serve us the way we need something to serve us. So these are just some of the items that were put on here. And I wanted to take that moment to show you that this is not a necessarily a wants and wish list. This is a true thing that is very important to the direction of the fire district and something we need to focus on and start putting that money toward it and finding alternative funding sources. Last one here, and I'll entertain any questions, but this is now sitting in front of my fire station. Took delivery last night. I think they got in almost at midnight after the Las Vegas run. $220,000 that Story County does not have to fund because it was through creative financing. And we were able to get this through NV Energy. You'll see that decal on the back door. That is a partnership decal with Nevada Energy. We've gotten other equipment from them. So it's really nice to, as we're still building this, I'm crossing them off. And that's a very good positive thing for us. It shows us that we are addressing those needs. not just in the future, not just the plan I'm presenting to you, but now when they're needed. So other than that, I don't want to take up a ton of your time. I'll answer any questions you may have of it. And thank you for allowing me to get up here and take your screen away from you.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment regarding what the Chief talked about before I go to my fellow commissioners? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so used to looking at the screen. Actually, I have live people here. Chris Thompson, come on up.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, after that presentation, I'm about ready to put in $10 myself to get some of this. But it was a great presentation. My question, Mr. Chairman, for the Chief is, there's a lot of new technology coming in at TRI. We've got a nanotech campus that's going to be one of the best in the world coming in. We've got technology with Tesla and Panasonic. There are new data centers coming in out there. And my question is, for him, is there any new technology that we don't have the best equipment for that might be good to put on this fire district CIP? Or is there anything out there that he thinks that could come in that we need to keep an eye on so that we have the proper fire equipment? It's very important. That fire department gets vetted by all the tech buyers coming in. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks again, Chief.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Actually, it's you brought up some absolutely excellent points, and it's an exciting time for Story County. It's an exciting time to be part of this team because we are seeing this creative stuff. And some of the beauty, one of the new projects that's coming out, the graphene and the battery manufacturer, it's actually moving into more of a fire-safe type of product. That's what we want to see. When I was back at the National Fire Academy, I was approached by the deputy chief for Pittsburgh Fire, and he's like, Story County, we start talking about batteries and lithium. And he's like, hey, can I reach out to you with a friend of mine, this battalion chief for FDNY, and can we come make a Story County visit? Because we got questions as well. The fire service is very slow to react to a lot of this technology. Unfortunately, we are very slow to it. So we tend to react when all of a sudden we're starting to see some of the problems. I think with the lithium, we're on it. We're working toward it. Specific fire equipment that's built for some of the hazards we're getting, I haven't seen a lot of it, but we'll see. We got bigger players that are coming to the table that are bringing more unique things. So it does take that vetting to go through it. And I can see even after this is finalized, something may come up, a better product, a better way of doing things that comes midway through this 5 years that I may be representing back here. So we're very open-minded about it, and we're going to watch it and following technology very closely because that's our new world. And I hope that answered the question for you.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any other public comment. Commissioner Gilman, anything for the Chief?
I have some general comments on the CIP. Not specific necessarily, but Chief, I celebrate the focus that you've put on this and the diligence. It's such an important thing, and it's obvious that you spent a lot of time and consideration. I'm going to get out of some skinny branches for a minute, if I may, but I'm so proud of our departments in Story County because some years ago, we implemented line item budgeting. And line item budgeting, we looked at our coming year and what money do we really need, not throwing 10 or 15 or 20% on something we're going to spend it. We actually were fiscally responsible, and our departments have grown in that. And I'm so proud of how our county is managing our money and our future and our direction. That being said, I believe that the CIP issue is a separate culture. And what I mean by that is, and I'm going to draw maybe some visualization, if I may, but we've been watching TRI come forward and other development in the county. And there is absolutely no question but that we're not going to have a pocket full or a pot full of money. We're going to have dump truck loads full of money. And that's coming very soon, in my opinion. Now, this is my opinion from my desk. But Tesla is going to kick in here just very, very quickly, and where they're out of the incentive package. And so we're not talking about the hundreds of thousands, we're talking about the millions of dollars. And I believe I'm correct that governments are not allowed to have savings accounts. You know, you don't can't put a whole lot of money in the bank, I believe. Keith, I hope I'm on the right place there. But we don't get to have savings accounts. And so to the extent that our county enjoys the revenue streams that I believe absolutely are coming to us quickly, and we can't put it in the bank and save it, then there are others around us, without pointing any particular, but outside of our county line, that are going to be envious of the amount of income that this little county is generating. I just think that's a given. It's already starting in some part. So I believe that our opportunity with the CIP is to show the world around us that we've been here since the 1800s, and we had a lot of money in the Comstock Lode, and we've been very poor for a lot of years here. And we haven't had the money to really have the safety, the security, the growth, and all of the real bells and whistles that a lot of the communities around us enjoy. But we're going to have the cash flow to be able to implement those. So I believe on the CIP now, and I've already seen it happening, now is the time to visualize what we look like in 5 years, 10 years, 25 years. What can the county look like? And we will have the available revenues to create those, but we're going to have to identify them and solidify them in the minds of others. People believe what they're prepared to believe, and we want the world around us to be prepared to believe that we have a right and justify to the benefit of our bargain. And that means we have the right to invest our revenue streams. And so I encourage you to think even far beyond the box where you are. It's not so much just what we're visualizing now, but what does 20 years look like? And I hope I'm on the right page there, Austin. I'm sort of waxing eloquently here, but I believe the CIP is probably as important an element for our future as anything else we can think about. So, that's it.
And thank you, Commissioner. I absolutely agree with you. And seeing those things coming, hopefully that's something I can show you a little bit later as we continue to develop and refine this. Because you are absolutely correct, is that to view into the future and understand how we're going to get there, we sometimes need to go a little further out than just 5 years, because change could be happening very quickly.
It's beyond that line out of budgeting we're so good at. We kind of need to embellish now beyond the line. It does the time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. I don't have anything to add. We're going to take a motion on this one.
This was fire district.
No, it's a mirror image of what was presented for the county. It's no motion.
You know, it's a lot louder outside. Very loud. You don't know it? Yeah.
For lunch, right?
Right.
Where's our grease?
Apparently. All right, County Manager Osborne, you had something?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know I'm speaking on a fire district matter, and the fire chief and the fire board are talking, but I think what's important here, I probably should have mentioned during the county one as well, is, you know, you look at all the capital items that we have put forward. The chief, I believe, would agree, and hopefully my folks would, that the department heads, myself, the public that was involved in this document, workshops, master plan hearings, town halls, that's where a lot of this stuff came from. School district meetings, meetings with Laura and her 501c3 groups. What I'm really proud about the CIP is it's not the government spending money to build the government and make it bigger. These are all projects that our communities need. Their shelters, their roads, their senior centers, their school bus shelters, their pieces of equipment. like the fire chief just talked about here. I mean, these aren't his toys. These are pieces of equipment he uses to respond to the needs of our residential and our industrial communities across the county. And so I just think it's important for the record to mention that this really is a document that is oriented toward the citizens and the businesses of this county and making sure that we can meet their needs. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. No objections. All right. With that said, thank you, County Manager. Ready for a motion?
I don't think there is a motion.
Is it? There is.
Oh, it is a motion? Or is it just information?
Well, there's a motion, but you can read the motion. Okay. It's not an action. It's not.
We took public comment, got commissioner's comments. There is a motion. You want to 146?
It's just directing staff is really that's cool.
Yeah, sorry, let me get back to it. All right, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct fire district staff to proceed with the draft capital improvement plan as presented by staff and with, but with the following amendments. Oh, do we have any amendments? No amendments. To proceed as presented by staff and to bring a final draft CIP back to this fire board before the fiscal year 2022-23 budget season for possible final consideration and implementation.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Moving on to item number 17. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to approve disposal by means of auction, donation, or sale surplus district self-contained breathing apparatus and associated fire equipment.
Commissioners, again, Jeremy Lawford for the record. So back to kind of a previous comment, we did secure an AFG grant last year for $450,000 to replace all our SCBAs. We were able to make that purchase this year, get them all in service, and now we are sitting on a stockpile of old SCBA equipment. So we have approximately 129 cylinders, 67 air packs, and 9 RIT bags. They're all associated with that self-contained breathing apparatus. I'm here for you today just to basically get approval for the disposal. As you can see in kind of the language, I try to keep it very open because ultimately with these, I would like to sell them off to recover some money. But some of these items could be better placed with a more needy department. So I like to keep those options open, but I will be looking to sell these items. I just need your approval to go ahead and get rid of these units we no longer use.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment regarding selling of the surplus breathing apparatus? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything regarding this? Vice Chairman? Nope. Then motion, please.
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the disposal of excess self-contained breathing apparatus and associated equipment by means of auction, donation, or sale.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Good luck.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you. Item number 18 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 19. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of granting of easements to NV Energy for Canyon Way, Wild Horse Drive, Megabyte Drive, and Waltham Way for underground gas pipeline facilities that will extend from Tracy to South Reno. Dean Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. So the Nevada Energy is proposing to build a pipeline from Tracy to South Reno. That's to accomplish a number of things, particularly for Nevada Energy, in that they want to ultimately reduce pressure on their lines in some areas of Reno, and they want to have an alternate source of supply so they're not stuck with a single source of supply that they have right now. But part of the project, and this can be in two stages, the first stage is the pipeline from Tracy to Lockwood in that area. And what they're proposing to do is put in the underground pipelines in the areas that are identified in this agenda item and to serve Lockwood with natural gas rather than with the propane system they have out there now. And they want to be able to extend the customer base into the Mustang area where they foresee some development coming on and they'll be ready to go and to provide natural gas services there. Staff report at the Public Utilities Commission indicates that by changing over from the propane system to the natural gas system, it's going to save them several hundred thousand dollars. in expenses, which hopefully some of that will go to be reduced cost to the residents of the two areas. And so this is before you today for a possible approval of the easements that have been requested by Nevada Energy.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Is there any public comment regarding item number 19 and the gas pipeline? No public comments seen. Commissioner Gilman, questions, comments?
The only comment I have is we've been watching and encouraging Nevada Energy to do exactly what they're doing here. We're delighted that this pipeline is coming out east and to everybody's benefit. So this is kind of a celebration day.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, I reviewed the item. I'm supportive.
As am I.
Thank you.
County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Chairman Cremona. This item here deals with, natural gas going into the Lockwood community. It will ultimately plumb into the Rainbow Bend neighborhood. They do have the infrastructure within their neighborhood to connect in, and it should be fine. The LCC, Lockwood Community Corporation, that's not the case. The infrastructure they have is very antiquated and not meeting the necessary standards of any gas company. So they are on individual propane tanks at this point. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. I did get an opinion that we can use county tax dollars for a discovery level process, which what that means is Far West Engineering is our county of record engineer. We'll go into the LCC. They will assess the materials that they have in the ground, which they're not going to like what they find, but then they're going to give us some findings on what it would take to plumb that community to the standards that would make them able to connect into this line. The LCC is well aware of this. Their board will take action allowing us to get into that neighborhood. Far West right now is working on kind of how that document looks for us to go in there and do that work. And then we'll begin that process. And then in the capital improvement plan, maybe be able to consider providing some assistance to that community. But there's some legal matters, of course, to work through because it is a private community. So I want to let you know that, by the way. NV Energy is well aware of this. We're communicating with them on pretty much a monthly basis on this. And they're doing as much as they can to be cooperative within their policies. Thank you.
Thank you for that, County Manager Osborne. We've already gone to the public, both my commissioners, everybody's good. Ready for a motion?
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the granting of easements requested by NV Energy as to Canyon Way, Waltham Way, Wild Horse Canyon Drive, and Megabyte Drive for consideration of $1 for each of the easements conveyed and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Keith. Looking forward to getting this project going. All right. Item number 20. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of amendment to the development agreement between Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC, also known as TRIC, DP Operating Partnership, LP, and Story County Development Agreement regarding the spacing of marijuana establishments within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center as set forth in that amendment to the development agreement approved on August 17th, 2021, which would reduce the required distance from an existing marijuana establishment from 1 mile to 500 feet.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
I'm going to recuse from discussing or voting on this particular issue. It is in abundance of caution. However, one of my companies we have an ownership interest in the outcome of this particular issue. And so I think it would be prudent if I sat on the sidelines for this one.
Thank Noted, you. Commissioner. Thank you. All right. Assistant VA Loomis, you want to take this one?
I'll look to Assistant DA Loomis, so I'm happy to discuss some of the findings of things. Do you have anything legally that you would want to?
I'll just introduce it if you like.
Okay, sure.
The
this is a result of a request for an additional retail cannabis establishment in the TRI center. Right now, the county is allocated two adult retail establishments, both of which would have to be in TRI because that's the only area in the county where cannabis establishments are authorized. The there is an existing applicant who is in the process of going through a licensing process that has selected a location within the TRI center. That when we did the amendment to the development agreement in August of this year, the requirement for distance between cannabis establishments was 1 mile. There is a new applicant for or considering locating within the TRI center that would like to be able to reduce that distance requirement from 1 mile to 500 feet. As I understand it, they do not presently have a location selected, but they have issued a letter of intent to enter into a lease to take over a parcel of property that is within the 1 mile limitation. And so that's why the proposal for a possible amendment to the development agreement is before you today.
Thank you. Mr. Loomis, appreciate it. Is the proponent here? Would you guys like an opportunity to speak? Are you speaking on behalf of the proponent? Or
sir. The proponent's requesting I go first, if that's okay with the chair, or if the chair desires them to go first, we can change it up. It's up to you guys. But I'm not I'm here on behalf of the proponent. I'm on behalf of TRI.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy DA, Chris Thompson, Project Manager for Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Procedurally, where we are at on this item is that very much were in support of opening up TRI to the two licensees for dispensaries within the park. And I think, you know, we think it's the right thing to do. We think it's financially great for the county. It opens up medicinal medicinal cannabis to the 25,000 workers in the park. So we were all for opening up TRI to the two licensees for businesses. We have not yet signed the consent to the zoning land use change that's in that original ordinance because of this final issue. We know that just with the layout of TRI, the current 1 mile restriction from the location that the first applicant has secured near the corner of Electric and Waltham. If you take a 1 mile diameter from that location, it essentially encompasses the entire retail district of TRI and then some. 80% of our go home traffic converges from three directions onto that intersection. Got traffic coming westbound on Waltham going home, traffic coming eastbound on Waltham going home, traffic coming westbound on Electric going home, and traffic going southbound on USA Parkway. That is the vast majority of the workers in the park, perhaps as much as 85%. So that retail location there near the corner of Electric and USA is everything to a retail business. This current 1 mile restriction would basically eliminate us being TRI and the county from having a second licensee viable. I think, you know, given the amount I've come to learn that they have to have a lot of security devices in place. They have to have some regulatory items and devices that are in place. It's an expensive facility that they have to build. So you have to have a certain amount of retail revenue in order to fund those. There is no other retail location in TRI that could fund both of these and make viable both licensees. So we're strongly in support of this limitation down to the 500 feet. It would allow both licensees to have their businesses. It would be good for our workers in the park. they would have choices on both medicinal and recreational products, and it'd be good for the county to have more licensing fees. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. TRI strongly in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman, fellow commissioners and staff. Nick Vanderpool with Flynn Judici Government Affairs. Today here on behalf of Taproot, one of the licensees who was awarded a license from the state. We obviously are in support of this proposed amendment. We believe at the end of the day, it will, as it was alluded to, give the cannabis customers options but also it creates competition, which we fully support. I think both entities will be able to survive. The county is in a unique position just given that the state awarded the two licenses. We don't see any more coming down the pipeline anytime soon. So it's a unique opportunity for Story County. I'd like to turn it over to Shane Terry, the license holder that was awarded by the state, and happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Shane Terry. I'm the CEO and founder of Taproot, who's the second licensee here. So I wanted to start by saying how grateful we are and honored to even have this opportunity to have this discussion. I know that probably a year ago, cannabis wasn't exactly high up on the priority list, and we were definitely excited to see it fast track because we're really looking forward to being, part of the community, to be able to be a participant in the development of the park. And certainly out of the licenses that I own and control, this is the one that I'm most excited about personally. So thank you for that. I wish that we had, I think it kind of slipped under my personal radar as far as the progress and how quickly you all acted. So I'll take a little bit of responsibility for maybe not being able to weigh in on this sooner. But I think from a community perspective, there's three different reasons why I think that what we propose is viable and best for the community. I think first, in addition to our retail cannabis establishment, we do have some opportunities to do other development that I'll call it a sister company. It's not cannabis related, but I think it will help and be beneficial to the park. And we want to be able to do that adjacent to the property that we would like to set up a retail dispensary. So for that to be viable for us, it does require the traffic counts. It needs to be a viable retail and food and beverage location. So if we weren't able to move it inside the highest commercially trafficked area within the park, then that's probably not part of the strategy that I would be able to implement and contribute as part of the further development. So certainly it would change our business plan a little bit if we weren't able to locate near the area that we have the LOI on, but certainly we could adapt. The second, I think, is probably more of an educational side. Just a little bit of background on myself. This is my second venture in the cannabis space. My first two dispensaries were down south in Las Vegas and North Las Vegas. So I've been part of the unfolding of this industry since 2014. Prior to that, I had a 14-year military career at Nellis Air Force Base as a commander at Top Gun. I think that'll segue a little bit into access to product and even medicine. So what's interesting about this project is Story County does not have any medical marijuana dispensaries. And so these retail dispensaries that are going in, although they're adult use, actually provides access to people in the community that would use cannabis both medicinally and recreationally. And so why do I say that? So speaking from a vet's perspective, and I know this is the same for people that have concealed carry permits, if you want to access medical marijuana for your own health needs, you have to register for a medical marijuana card. And I know vets are afraid of losing their VA benefits. They never do it. And you won't pass background check with a concealed carry as well. So when we established adult use regulations, it provides an access point for people that need to have cannabis as medicine to go in, show an ID saying that you're 21, be able to purchase, medicine or otherwise, whatever they want to use it for, but you don't have to register for a database. So I think there's just something that I think that our community overall doesn't really fully understand, and that's that even though we are a retail dispensary, there are still going to be people that are using it for medicinal purposes. The second is really just free market competition. We're not trying to create a monopoly from our side. We just want the ability to compete alongside anybody else that has the licenses. And I think that also benefits the community because not only does it provide more convenient access points for people driving in or out of the park, but also it's naturally going to create competitive pricing, promotions and everything that ultimately makes it more accessible for the people that that want to frequent these establishments. So I think all our ask is we're not looking to shift anything in our favor whatsoever. We're just looking for the opportunity to provide the best retail strategy in a highly trafficked area and, you know, really let the community speak for itself as far as which venues they will choose to visit. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, happy to answer them. And thank you very much for your time.
Thanks. So, gentlemen, I'm going to reach out to my fellow commissioner first, then I'll go to the public, see if there's any public comment while you gentlemen are here. Do you have any questions for these folks while they're up at the podium?
Not at this time, although I would, as we kind of start into kind of the deliberation phase, and again, out of an abundance of caution, I do want to disclose that prior to this meeting, I took meetings with people both in favor and opposed to this, but I obviously no promises were made. It was educational. I was gathering information from both sides, and I don't feel that that influences my ability to deliberate impartially. So I just thought I'd put that on the record, and I don't have any questions for Mr. Terry at this time.
Okay. Out of abundance of caution for myself, I have met with both parties as well for educational purposes. Doesn't impact my decision one way or another. I don't have any direct questions for you at the moment. We may call you back. Is there any public out there on Zoom that may have any questions for these gentlemen while they're here? All right, you guys are good to go.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'll call you back if we have any questions. Next on my list of people, I'm going to ask county manager, do you have anything before I go to public comment?
All right. Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. Mm-hmm. So we looked into their request as well. And a couple things, staff has to take a position as far as a recommendation. I'm aware of both sides and really personally don't have any dog in the hunt here as far as, you know, what this is. But I just look at the past discussions that occurred at this board, where this board made action and have a list of findings. If you were to go in approval of this, meaning that you want to amend the tri-development agreement, I would ask to read specifically findings for you, kind of like what we do with other matters. If you want to go in motion to deny, there's a set of findings for that. Staff at this time is recommending a denial, and there's a couple reasons for that. And I'll just summarize a little bit what the findings would be for that. One is it's just so close to the approval in August of this year of the original tri-development agreement amendment requiring the 1 mile distance. Regarding the conversations that occurred at that. So other ones that basically the findings would say that, you know, this is an amendment to the industrial development, tri-development agreement, excuse me. This request is to go from 1 mile to 500 feet. And really, we believe that the proposal would create a concentration of these uses at the entrance to the park. That's one of the findings. There's some details to that, but spreading them out over a mile, that was one of the discussions that occurred to try to allow them. We understand that state regulations allow them. This board has taken action to be more open to these sorts of uses, but we want to spread them out at the industrial park a bit. A similar type of thing is done in Virginia City with clairvoyance uses. It's a different environment. It's a smaller geographic area. So the distance between those is 1,000 feet. If you were to go a mile apart in Virginia City, you would really only have one because the town's not big enough to have that much distance. But the same principle was used in this matter regarding the 1 mile out at the much larger industrial center. There is cannabis retail may be used on commercial land uses out of Tri-Center. And one of the findings is if somebody wants to create a commercial land use out of Tri, they don't have to go through the planning commission. They don't have to go through all the processes to do that. They just submit a letter to me. They ask for it, I sign it, and then it goes over to Tri-Center LLC, and then they do the same. They sign off. If both parties sign off, any parcel at Tri-Center can become a commercial parcel. The fastest one of those I've ever done was less than 30 minutes, and the typical ones are a day or two, as quick as we can get them through the desk. It's a very simple process. So if these folks did find a parcel somewhere that's currently zoned industrial too, they could simply request that letter, say we'd like this to be commercial so to accommodate this use. It would be not an issue. Another finding in there is there are other commercial developments either existing or in process. So if you were to recommend or go along with the motion for denial, it's going to point that there's a commercial development in process with a 7-Eleven at the corner of Denmark and USA. There's the Stormo properties across the street that's commercial. There are some other ones along USA Parkway, particularly near the affluent reservoir. That may be an opportunity for these folks to explore that are outside a mile distance from the current one that's under permitting process with the state. If the motion was to go along with the adjustment, then one other additional area would be as the corner of Electric and USA would be available within 500 feet or outside 500 feet of an existing use. I will just mention, just so you know, there is a limitation at the industrial park of 10%. The entire park can be reserved for commercial. At this time, under 5% of that is, you know, allocated to that, just so you're aware. We did do some research around the region, just kind of see what's going on with our neighboring folks. The city of Henderson does have a 1 mile distance between one cannabis retail use and another one. And then the city of Reno appears to have one or had one in a code. There are some issues they're looking at with their code, but they did have, it was either a 1500 feet or 2500 feet distance between those uses. Just for the record, I want to make sure I'm being complete in that, but they did have that. And then of course I talked about the Story County one regarding clairvoyance. And we don't believe that a denial of this would cause any undue hardship or restriction of these sorts of uses. There are other places out of Tri. If the board decides to go along with a motion to approve this and to move forward in this direction, then there are findings for that as well. Pretty much the same as the first ones, except there would be a little bit of difference. Obviously the 1 mile would go to 500 feet, so that'd be a finding. Same thing, it would not reduce or not cause any of this clustering or this concentration of uses out at the entrance of the park if the board believes that to be the case. And then there are several commercial developments, of course, that they could, you know, operate at, and it would include, unlike the other findings, the corner of Electric and USA. And then pretty much everything else is pretty similar. So whatever direction this board wants to go, I'd be happy to read verbatim those findings in order to support that. Just for the record, behind us at the corner, there is these findings posted for the public. Vanessa has one for her office as well. And then for the Zoom folks, that's why I would recommend that I just read it verbatim so they're aware of exactly what that says.
All right.
And I provided the copy to you today at the meeting.
Do you want to go ahead and read those findings then?
Well, he has two sets of findings that are different based on what the motion is. Is that correct?
Okay. So after whatever motion we make, you can read those findings in?
I would be happy to.
Okay. Do you have any questions thus far before I go to public comment?
I have two questions, one for Mr. Osborne and one for Mr. Thompson. Mr. Osborne, if you can just the 10% limitation on commercial use, is that total number of parcels? Is that land area, or is that not that clearly defined?
It's going to be the whole land area of the entire industrial center. I also looked to Mr. Loomis because he was involved in some research dealing with a parcel that we dealt with out at EP Minerals on how to calculate that. But it would be the whole land area of the park as a 10%.
Okay, great. And you say we're not quite at about 5%
below. I'm probably below. Closer to 3, but just to be really safe, we're aiming up to close.
Great.
To 5.
Thank you. My question for Mr. Thompson is, you made reference to a retail district,
yes,
which I think de facto that is, and I'm just wondering if that's an intentional, deliberate, or official designation, or if that's just what's come to be.
Great question, Mr. Commissioner. It is not a zoning issue. It's not a like a labeling on the map issue. What it is, it's a traffic count issue. And just to expand on that a little bit, whoever did the staff report's exactly right on the zoning. Our I-2 zoning allows everything from heavy industrial to commercial. And we at TRI, we approve the commercial retail applicants. We do that typically within 24, 48 hours. So it's not a zoning issue. It's not a use issue because retail is included in our resolution of uses and similar uses, two such which have been passed in the last 20 years. But what it is it's all about traffic count. There is no other location within the park anywhere, even though it's zoned for retail, that has the kind of retail traffic going through that one point. If you go further out on USA Parkway to the property referenced, it's you only get the traffic going home or going to work on USA Parkway beyond that intersection. So it would miss a lot of the inbound and outbound traffic from Tesla and Panasonic. It would miss all the inbound and outbound traffic from Pittsburgh Paint, from Tire Rack, from all the other companies down in Waltham. And so that's why the proof of this is the fact that we have no gas stations, no fast food restaurants, and no stores anywhere outside that 1 mile area of USA Parkway and Electric. That shows that the traffic count and retail revenue is not in other areas yet. Might it get there in 5 or 10 years? Yeah, I mean, we understand the lake is going to be hopefully a retail district, and that might light up the property out there by USA Parkway in Denmark. Might Patrick Freeway commercial exit light up in a few years, but that owner doesn't seem, real quickly moving that property. So right now it's the only game in town. And I just think economically by traffic count, if this 1 mile exclusion stays there, we are only going to have one licensee in business in Story County. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Thank you. You good if I go to public comment?
Yeah, please
do. So I'm going to go to public comment again. I believe we have the original licensee here, the other licensee here.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Gilman. My name is Mackenzie Warren. I'm with McDonald Carano. I'm appearing today on behalf of the applicant, Pure Tonic Concentrates. You'll recognize Mr. Jake Ward. He's a familiar face. It's my first time appearing in Story. I'm an attorney and lobbyist. I work a lot in cannabis. Got to, acknowledge the thought that has gone into this process, the methodical approach by staff. A couple of procedural points I want to point out. Mr. Thompson made the statement that the consent agreement has not been signed. Our email records from the county manager recognize that this was signed back on September 17th was the email. And also Mr. Thompson's statements that should this commission adopt the 1 mile buffer, that a second dispensary would be eliminated. That's contradictory to what we're seeing here. A simple drive and try points that. The county manager pointed out more of the specific locations that are possibilities for a second location to go. We'd like to welcome the competition. Pure Tonic is no stranger to competition. It's the name of the game in cannabis. And if we're looking at the traffic and those that are traveling through Tri, where are they going? Where are they coming from? They're coming from going home to Reno. They're going to Sparks. They're going to Carson City. We know Reno has 8 dispensaries, the 2,500 foot buffer zone in Reno. We know Carson City, which includes Mound House, has 3 dispensaries. We know Sparks has 3 dispensaries. The competition is alive and well, and certainly we look forward to welcoming Taproots to Story County where we could coexist as 2 operators. Our position today is that this commission follow staff's recommendation. We would urge this commission to heed staff's call and deny this amendment to the development agreement to reduce the buffer zone from 1 mile to 500 feet. I would say looking at the different buffer zones we see throughout Nevada, a 500 foot zone would be an outlier. This distance is more akin to what we see for public safety, parks, daycare, schools, those types of things. it really appears that our competitor, who we welcome, has simply selected a location and they're asking this body to back their policy in to a 500 foot buffer zone to fit that. The point was made by the county manager that just 90 days ago, this commission deliberated and decided that a 1 mile zone was appropriate. That was, of course, rooted in staff research and contemplated by this board and voted on as sound policy. Presumably, the other applicant had the opportunity to participate in that process 3 months ago. And we certainly acknowledge Taproot's acknowledgement of the same. But the fact is, these are highly privileged licenses that have value and meaning. And the opportunity to engage in that public discussion was had. We're also aware that Mr. Thompson received a draft of the 1 mile radius proposal in early August, well before this board's adoption of the same on August 17th. That's the timeline. To the point of competition, again, we're no stranger to it. We see a Taco Bell being built next to the Burger King. We're not talking about burgers and tacos. We're talking about cannabis. We're talking about a highly regulated drug where communities have decided that buffer zones are important, not only for the appearance and the safety and protection, but to make sure that a cannabis row, a cannabis corner isn't created. And you heard that from the county manager's comments. The 1 mile separation not only aligns with other Nevada jurisdictions that have determined there's value in spreading out these operations, but it fits with Story County's approach. And I may be new to this body, but my research shows that you were methodical, you moved slow. And I think the biggest point that we've heard from Mr. Osborne is that this 1 mile separation does not foreclose Taproot's ability to activate that license. We see the construction, and reducing this buffer zone to 500 feet creates the risk that Story County is adopting a policy to allow for a cannabis row. That seems inconsistent and incompatible with this board's methodical approach to the issue. This 1 mile radius ensures certainty in the development permit process, an evenly distributed opportunity for cannabis store locations, and it limits multiple cannabis stores from appearing on the same block. This is sound policy, just as this board decided 3 months ago. Again, we're happy to answer any question. Jake's here to get into any of the specifics, and we are urging this body go with staff's recommendation to deny a modification of the development agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman, did you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Jake, did you want to speak?
No, I think Ms. Thornton covered it rather well on all the major topics. The one thing I'd like to bring up is the density issue for stores. And if you look at our local community here in the north, she mentioned that there's 8 stores in the city arena, and there's about 250,000 people that reside there. So that means there's about a little over 30,000 people for each store. And the math works about the same for Sparks. So each store kind of has, if you just look at it, spread out evenly on average about that many folks. And then there was reference to the roughly 25,000 vehicles that are coming in and out of the park every day. So that lines up pretty well for a single store, kind of on a single stream of traffic, which is the way that it is now. So we'd appreciate it if you could follow staff's recommendation. So that's all I have to add.
Thank you.
Sure.
I may ask you to come back up at a later time.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment regarding this item? Well, not seeing any public comment. So basically, it's up to you and I to deliberate on this issue. I'll give you my thoughts. Make no secret about it. When I came into office, I definitely wanted to see Story County embrace the marijuana business. I felt it was an industry that, would maybe not be fitting for Story County, but it was an industry that offered some revenue for the county. We do have brothels in our county. We do have all kinds of businesses in our county. And marijuana being legal should not be excluded. The marijuana industry is a little bit interesting in that the licensing is a little bit different, and that we in our agreement set up that we would take 3% off the top of gross sales. So in my mind, While we have a vested interest in everybody's business booming in Story County, we have a little bit different interest when it comes to the marijuana business. You know, some would say, you know, have 10 of them and you're going to get 3% of all their gross sales and everybody's happy. Well, at the end of the day, I don't quite think it works out that way. You know, there's, to make the burger reference, you know, there's only X amount of burgers to be sold. Marijuana is obviously a little different. And, you know, I don't, just like with other privileged licenses, I wouldn't necessarily want the gateway to the industrial park to be, you know, full of brothels or full of alcohol stores or full of marijuana dispensaries. That again is my personal feeling. You know, we are attracting some big worldwide companies out here. Not everybody is pro marijuana. And so I've always had the view that, you know, we can ease into this thing, and still, you know, provide for business. You know, I was pleased to hear that there's a 7-Eleven truck stop going in further down USA Parkway, which obviously opens up some more retail space. As the park grows, I see more opportunity for other businesses to open up. You know, I was comfortable with the 1 mile radius when we all agreed to it several months ago. There were multiple parties involved. I did not know of the other applicant at that time. I do remember seeing Vanderpool name on Zoom a couple times, wondering who he was. You know, I only remember seeing one at the time. It'd be pretty hard. I think if we were to reduce that mileage, I mean, you know, I don't know, and I don't have the answer on what it's going to do to sales. This isn't, we're not talking about toilet paper. We're not talking about gasoline. You know, some would argue marijuana is a necessity, but the reality is it's not, right? It's not something that people need to live. It's not food. It's not gas. So competition on that level, I deferred in supporting the 1 mile radius. I deferred and looked at other communities. I looked at the distance that they had, populations that they had, and how many people are serviced by that one store. And that honestly is how I came to the decision that I'm comfortable with where we're at. I understand right now that the industrial park is still, I want to say it's in its early stages of development, but as we know, there are companies that are showing up every single day and there are people that are wanting to build and develop. And I think it's a matter of time. Does it suit everybody's timetable that, you know, there isn't a retail place, another retail place open right now? It doesn't. But I, you know, felt very comfortable 3 months ago making that decision. I thought the logic was sound. Story County, this is a new venture for us, just like the discussion of these marijuana lounges, consumption lounges. My personal thought was, let's let all the other places hammer out all the dirty work and let's revisit this in a couple of years when everything's ironed out. And maybe Story County can save itself a ton of work and revisit the consumption lounge thing when the state's ironed everything out. We don't have to do any dirty work and hard work. I feel that way about this. The work's been done. People have set up these rules and regulations and the distances for a reason. They seem to be there and working. I know Story County is different. And we pride ourselves on doing things differently. I don't know that this is one of those cases where I want to say, you know, let's do it different. Let's reinvent the wheel. I've tried to keep an open mind throughout this whole process, and I keep diverting back to my original decision a couple months ago. You know, I've looked at all the possibilities and all the options. You know, of course, I would love to take 3% of both of your businesses. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure our comptroller would love it. I know our county manager would love it. You know, I think we can do that. I just don't know that them being right next to each other is good for either of the businesses. You know, and that's my two cents for right now.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And as I thought about it, you know, I've had some similar thoughts as well. I think that the approach that was taken originally was advisable of taking kind of a slow track to have some track record from surrounding jurisdictions. But I was also supportive of our action earlier this year to open up this sector of the economy locally. I really see overall our job is to get out of the way of business and let them do their thing for the most part. That's my natural inclination, right? It's to be accommodating as flexible as we can. But that being said, you know, I also believe that there's a compelling public interest in stability and proper procedure. And I feel like if we were to backtrack or change directions shortly after implementing a properly adopted ordinance, it has the potential to hurt our credibility and make it feel like, you know, maybe it wasn't as well thought out as I think it was, or that we're not, you know, that we're not resolute in the actions that we take. And I think that has a potential to hurt future economic development if it feels like that people can't count on us in our decision-making process. Mm-hmm. I do believe that as we did that, it was a robust, proper public procedure to implement the cannabis ordinance. It's regrettable that we didn't have this conversation at that time.
Right.
Because I think that was probably the right time to have it. And that's not putting blame anywhere. I just, something that I wish had happened. So, you know, I'm sympathetic to the concerns of Mr. Terry and Taproot and the proponents of this amendment. I'm hesitant to change an ordinance that we passed fairly recently. And it's not really even fully implemented or tested yet. Mm-hmm. And that being said, I'm certainly open to revisiting at some point down the road. And after we've had a chance to get a little further down this road, and I'm happy to personally, as well as through staff, work to make sure that we fully explore what other options are available. Mm-hmm. I think there's a bigger question as well, you know, I'm so pleased with what's happening out of TRI, but there's a bigger question about, is there wisdom in concentrating all of our activity into that one access point? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about prohibiting anything, but I'm talking about kind of setting a vision of promoting the natural development of the park to utilize the other entrances. And I'm not sure if policies that further concentrate growing traffic numbers into that area sets us up for long-term success. Now, I don't know how much of that is in our purview, because a lot of that is not necessarily something that we get to have a final say on. But certainly when it comes to promoting a more distributed development in the park, I think that may be a wiser direction for us to go. So my feelings are very similar to yours. I'm inclined to go with staff on this recommendation. But that being said, I want to do whatever we can to make sure that we fully vet out and welcome both applicants into the county and do whatever we can to make sure that we set the stage for them to be successful as they make the right decisions for their business.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we've been known for being pro-business, and you know, this decision today, if we do go with staff, while it may feel like we are not pro-business, that's not the case. You know, as I said, the industrial park's been around 20 years. It still feels like it's in its infancy, but for those that have been paying attention, Story County has now or is looking at getting somebody who is going to directly help in marketing, selling properties out of the industrial park. And that's something that we can actually direct, you know, staff to do, is to try to help promote more of a retail, because as we've discussed, you know, these businesses out there are fantastic, but retail, there's a lot of money in retail, you know, whether it's food or whatever other retail is out there. So,
well, and not just money, but support for the population that's in that park every day and providing proper services.
Indeed. I mean, I'm sure you and I have both been out there. There's hardly places to eat lunch, you know, during a meeting. So, I think there's definitely a lot of room to grow, but, you know, at this point, I would be inclined to go with staff's recommendation as well.
Okay.
So with that said, if you want to entertain a motion.
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to deny the proposed modification to the development agreement to reduce the distances required between marijuana establishments from 1 mile to 500 feet within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And would appreciate if County Manager Osborne can read the findings.
All right. From what I'm hearing, I'm going to read the findings under Section A of this document. I'll read them verbatim. The following findings of fact are in the minimum to be cited for the motion for denial. The following findings are evident with regard to the requested development agreement amendment. One, this motion applies only to the request for the amendment to the development agreement between Story County and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC. Two, a request was made to reduce the distance requirement between two cannabis retail uses, was really in the existing cannabis retail establishments and uses for short, from 1 mile to 500 feet. Number three, the proposed development agreement amendment would result in a concentration of cannabis retail uses near the entrance to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, a condition which will result in undue adverse effects on adjacent properties, the professional character of the commercial industrial neighborhood, and other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions of the policies of the Story County Master Plan, the development agreement, and any other plans, programs, maps, or ordinances adopted under the consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or any other government agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. Four, cannabis retail uses may currently exist on any C commercial designated parcel at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center within the limitations set forth by the state of Nevada, except that a cannabis retail use may not be placed within 1 mile of another cannabis retail use. Number five, any parcel within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center may be designated from I-2 heavy industrial to C commercial upon administrative approval of the Story County and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC. C commercial designations occur with a letter from both parties indicating approval, and that approval typically takes less than 30 days. Currently, no more than 10% of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center may be designated C commercial. However, at this time, less than 5% of the center is designated as such, and opportunities for C commercial designations are expected to persist into the foreseeable future. Six, there are several commercial developments planned or existing at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, which are beyond a mile of an existing permitted cannabis retail use and where other cannabis retail uses may be permitted. They include, but are not limited to, the north and south corner of Denmark Drive and USA Parkway, along USA Parkway between Denmark Drive and Electric Avenue, abutting Italy Drive, and near the Patrick Interchange. And those are all approximate for the record. Number seven, required distance between uses is also applied in other county codes, such as Story County Code 1728-30, C commercial, and 1730-030. We'll get back to you on that. Make a note. The commercial residential zone. Apply distance restrictions between clairvoyance uses and other clairvoyance uses, and that distance is 1,000 feet. Distances between clairvoyance uses is appropriate to protect the family character of Virginia City by preventing the concentration of these uses. And 1,000 feet was applied to the code to ensure that no more than one clairvoyance use may occur within a small geographic area. And I should correct that to make sure that more than one of them may occur in the small geographic area. Number eight, this denial does not cause the prohibition or undue restriction of cannabis dispensary uses at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, where cannabis uses are allowed. And then from what I heard in your conversations, I'm going to read three more findings, and I'll ask if you believe they align with your conversations, and if they do, to incorporate them into your motion. This denial maintains credibility and stability from the August 2021 approval of cannabis development or cannabis use retail uses in the development agreement of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, and Story County. Number 10, there was a robust public comment, outreach, and involvement in the 2021 August approval of the development agreement amendment regarding cannabis retail uses. And 11, the parties that approved the August 2021 approval include Story County and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC.
Thank you. Those do align with my thinking of the motion.
Yep. So motion's done. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for all the parties being here. Appreciate the public comment. Sorry.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, please.
And I'd just like to say, Mr. Terry, even though I know this feels like a setback, we exist to serve both the residents and the businesses. And so please don't hesitate to reach out to staff or us personally if there's anything we can do as you evaluate how to activate your license.
Yeah, thank you. All right, moving right along to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. Update discussion and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding SCR 11, formerly BDR 1109 and 1148, interim legislative committee to study innovation zone, draft legislation, and other properly related matters.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
In all past meetings, a number of them, I have recused from discussion and voting on this particular issue. And that was because I held a pecuniary interest in a business, a satellite business that was involved with some of the applicants here. That is no longer the case. I no longer hold pecuniary interest in any of it. And I believe I certainly am qualified now to enter any discussion and are voting on these issues.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Austin.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. Just as an update on this, regarding the Innovation Zones legislation and the SCR 11 committee and other legislative action, just to let you know, until the end of the year, I'll continue to give these updates. So far, we have not heard anything on the status of the SCR 11 committee. There hasn't been any discussion or meetings occurring with that group. Staff right now is continuing to work on its economic study to determine outputs that are going on in the region from Story County economic activity. That report should be ready in a draft form by the end of the year or toward the beginning of next calendar year. And we are also, as somewhat related to this, annually under Assembly Bill 240 from the 2019 legislative session, the county managers are to get together annually, collaborate and discuss and create a collective report that shows that the activity that the counties are doing as far as working together, collaborating on projects and discussing matters pertaining to transportation, housing, and economic development. That is occurring now. Jeff Page from Lyon County, the county manager, is taking lead on that this year. Last year, Washoe County took lead on it. And I have submitted so far a rough draft of bullet points and other letter material to him to put into his report. And I'm also preparing a draft letter that would reflect the county's position so far where we are and this economic study that we're performing and other matters regarding collaboration and coordination with our neighboring partners on various projects and issues. And I will be sending that to our legislative representatives that we have been talking with. And at this point, I would ask, like before, to reaffirm the April 6, 2021 letter that we had sent to the governor, just explaining once again, regardless of the status of the SCR 11 or the committee or the legislature, we still support the residential development of Painted Rock. We still support cryptocurrencies and other technologies, especially those out at Tri-Center that have to do with research and development and sandbox exercises and other economic development. and we continue to deny or decline our interest or oppose the separation or separatist local government concepts. And there is a motion written out for you to that effect.
Thank you, Austin. I'll go to the public, see if there's any public comment regarding item number 21. Yes.
Thank you, Chairman. Eileen Gay, Payne Bay resident.
Yep.
My thanks to Story County Commissioners, staff, and lobbyists for their efforts and continued diligence in keeping the county and our neighborhood here at Painted Rock in particular apprised of the status of the Innovation Zone draft bill and the legislative study. In my opinion, the sooner the Innovation Zone concept can be fully and officially dropped from consideration by the state of Nevada, the better. We have more serious business to do talking about development, transportation, and all the items that Austin has listed there. Again, my appreciation for staying on track with following through on this particular issue. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Eileen. Thanks for hanging out through the whole meeting too.
My pleasure.
Any other public comment? Any other public comment? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything?
I have no questions, no.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
The only thing I can say is December cannot come fast enough. So I'm tired of hearing this. Is there a motion that you want to read, Vice Chairman?
Sure. I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff, lobbyists, and professional services to continue appropriate research, analyses, and actions on SCR 11, the Innovation Zone Interim Study, which will best protect and represent the county to continue opposition or to continue opposing separatist government concepts and to promote economic and land development, including a PUD at Painted Rock through existing legal framework and the 2016 master plan of Story County, regardless of the status of the legislative interim committee.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. All right, moving on to item number 22, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the update to the Story County Administrative Policies and Procedures, policy number 613, leave for coronavirus-related reasons. Toby Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just basically an extension of an existing policy that we put into place after the expiration of the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. We're basically just looking to continue to cover those employees who may need time off for coronavirus related reasons. We're trying to encourage people to not come to work sick while the pandemic continues on. I'm happy to answer any specific questions. It's, like I said, just an extension at this time.
All right. Is there any public comment for Toby about this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you want to chime in on this about anything?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
No, good.
I don't have anything either. So want to entertain a motion?
Sure. Based on the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the amendments to Story County Administrative Policies and Procedures 613, leave for coronavirus COVID-19 related reasons.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Toby. Moving right along to item number 23, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings, A through G. Is there any public comment regarding these second readings? No public comment. My fellow commissioners have any comments on these businesses?
No question.
All right. Motion's in order.
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 23 on our agenda, specifically sub A through G.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Welcome to Story County. Item number 24 is public comment. Items not related or not on today's agenda. Any public comment today?
You need spurs.
No job in prison for.
I've contemplated getting some for the boardwalk.
I think you should.
Just very quickly, holidays are fastly approaching. Unbelievable how quickly this year has gone. And actually have an event coming up before the next commission meeting that I wanted to personally invite you gentlemen and any of the county staff to. We are getting ready to do our annual, I'm going to call it this year, Santa and Skitty. Our spaghetti dinner that we do down at the Mark Twain Community Center. Mm-hmm. Santa Claus is going to be there for pictures with kids and hopefully bring a bag of goodies to give out. Anybody who would like to come is more than welcome to. And if you're not up for spaghetti, but you want to get your picture taken with Santa or ask him for that little bit of something special on December 11th, we'll be down at the community center in Lockwood. Let me check the time on that. Mm-hmm. The 11th in Lockwood will be from 1 to 3 p.m. The spaghetti dinner and Santa Claus and Mark Twain will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on December 5th.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
You know where I'll be.
Do you, just for the minutes, do you mind repeating those dates again, Lockwood and then Mark Twain?
Okay, we'll do Mark Twain first since okay. It's coming up first.
Okay.
It'll be December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. And then Lockwood, no spaghetti at that one. We already had spaghetti there. But Lockwood will be December 11th from 1 to 3 p.m.
Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any public comment. It is 1:08 on my iPad, 2:10 on the clock up here. We're going to call the meeting adjourned. See you in a couple weeks.